Hello, this is Alberto Grignolo, Deputy Editor of DIA Global Forum, and we are here at the 2015 DIA Annual Meeting with Sarah Pope and Roger Nozel, who are the track co-chairs for the Pharmaceutical Quality Track. Sarah Pope Mixinski is the Acting Director of the Office of New Drug Products at the Office of Pharmaceutical Quality at the FDA. Roger Nozel is the Vice President and Head of Global CMC at Pfizer. Welcome to you both. Thank you for being with us today. And I have a few questions for you. The first one to you, Sarah, if I may. People talk about integrated quality assessment. Can you help us understand what was previously unintegrated that is now integrated?
Sure. So most significantly, the newer development is that integrated quality assessment now brings review and inspection together. So previously, our inspectional assessments at sites, manufacturing sites, were operated in a different work stream than the actual review of the application. So the two work streams actually had challenges in staying aligned during a particular application review. So OPQ, Integrated Quality Assessment, actually brings the inspectors, the investigators from the Office of Regulatory Affairs onto the teams, and it actually integrates the work streams into one work stream, generates what we call one quality voice, which is actually what we referenced here at DIA in our session.
Is it working well, or is it too early to tell?
So we're gaining experience. I think it's not too early to tell. I see definite movement in a positive direction. I will say that we've actually been including our investigator colleagues in the field on teams for quite some time out of necessity, but just not systematically. And so it was more case by case. So what we're doing is taking the learnings from those cases and moving them forward as general procedure in OPQ. So I would expect that the experience we're gaining now will be quite useful for the future.
When do you expect to be able to measure the outcome or the results of this new approach? In 2 years, in 5 years?
So we stood up the office in January, and I think when you look at the review clocks, typical review clocks for the applications that we handle in OPQ, we're talking about anywhere between 1 to 2 months to 10 months or even more. I think it's going to be a year, maybe 2 years, before we're going to have some meaningful and significant data at which we can actually look back and see whether it's working or whether we need to make some additional adjustments.
Roger, may I ask you, as perhaps representing an industry point of view, what is the industry reaction and response to this new initiative by the FDA?
Very positive, and we've been encouraged by what we've seen to date. There's much more context behind where the FDA is evaluating what we've done, and that context helps us understand better how to communicate back, so communication is improved. The overall approach is very much in line with what we've been advocating with FDA and for a while. I would say even going back to Quality by Design, because that pilot program required more communication, and we learned an awful lot about where good communication could really benefit.
Does it help companies, do you think, prepare better for inspections and perhaps have more successful inspections?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The premise does. Now, whether the companies choose to do that, I think remains to be seen. But I am seeing much more emphasis on a prospective approach rather than a retrospective or reactive approach.
Have there been any dissenting voices at this annual meeting on this topic? Anyone who is, you know, has a different point of view as to the benefits of this new program?
I haven't heard any dissenting voices. I think one of the concerns is the amount of work involved. When you communicate, when you invest the energy to communicate, whether it's from the FDA's perspective or from industry's perspective, you have to invest time and effort to do that. So I think that's probably the biggest concern. However, I think most of us who've been doing this for a while recognize that it's worth the investment.
Let me follow up by focusing a little bit on the Office of Pharmaceutical Quality, and specifically, what is one lesson, Roger, perhaps I could start with you, what is one lesson that the Office of Pharmaceutical Quality hopes their industry counterparts have learned since the inception of OPQ?
I can give you two, actually. One is more focus on the patient. So in the way that we put our quality submissions together, recognizing that we're all trying to do this for the patient's benefit, has been a central source of our commonality, if you will, between the FDA and the industry. It's gotten us on the same page, and it's opened up transparency. And I would say that the second one is transparency, because as we've become more transparent with not only what we're doing, but how we're doing it, it's given the FDA a chance to come back with their view so that we can continue the dialogue. and the transparency has actually been very, very helpful.
Premising that learning is best when it's a two-way street, what is industry hoping that OPC has learned from these first few steps?
Sarah mentioned one of them. We had advocated very strongly the need for more integration between the inspection and the review. And we've also talked an awful lot about understanding how they do their assessments so that there's some consistency coming back to us when they review our submissions. Right. And both of those clearly they've embraced in the OPQ.
Sarah, from your point of view, what do you hope industry has learned, is learning, will learn from this program?
I guess I'd expand the question a little bit and say that the observation that I would hope that we all take away at this point after the stand-up of OPQ is that we're really not all that different. I think that...
Different than what? Than before or than
correct.
Other people?
Well, I think there have been some great reminders that we're actually all in the same boat together in terms of serving the same patients. Industry does not have their own group of patients, and FDA does not have their own group of patients. We're all serving pretty much everybody. So when at the end of the day, we're all doing the same thing, just in maybe a different realm. So one of the things that I think is a great lesson that I think is really expanded. I think it's always been there in terms of that serving of the patients, but the idea that that actually filters into the conversations we have as we do our work. So it's not just about setting up a new organization and saying a whole bunch of new things, but actually changing the way we work and changing the processes to fit a new culture.
You have both mentioned the patient. At this annual meeting, I've heard several people talk about patient centricity, including the voice of the patient along every step of the drug development process. How might the voice of the patient be introduced in a conversation or around pharmaceutical quality? Is that possible? How would that look?
Absolutely. So if you don't mind me jumping in on this,
Roger,
one.
Please.
Pfizer and many other companies in the past have welcomed patient testimonials. And a lot of times those testimonials provide us with an insight on how a patient actually uses a medication that we may not have been anticipating. Development in the past, I'll go back 20, 30 years, development in the past was focusing on the quickest way to deliver a new drug, get it through the clinical trials, and get it to the patient. And we didn't always consider what the impact would be when the patient had to take it. For example, there are some very large tablets out there. And folks
right.
who are older in particular, who may have trouble swallowing, can't swallow them, even younger folks. So understanding just how a patient would use a medication or what would work for a patient in using medication. Taste is a big one. We've been focusing an awful lot of effort to try to make more of our oral products more palatable so that that patient compliance is not a problem. So I think that's one way in particular. And then the testimonials give us grounding in what we do every day and helps build our quality culture. And quality culture is central to any company's ability to be able to support the view or the perspective that we want our products to have the confidence and quality that the patients can give them.
Would companies go so far as to invite patients into a manufacturing plant to see the
Absolutely.
Process and possibly have the experience of a patient being horrified by the size of a capsule going through the process?
Absolutely. And we've done that. And we've done that.
Have you?
Oh, absolutely. And there are other companies that have done it as well.
And the outcomes have been favorable, useful?
Feedback is a gift. And in this case, I think even feedback that forces us to rethink what we've done is good feedback. And I think we've all taken it to heart because we recognize that benefit for the patient is key.
Sarah, you also mentioned patient in your remarks. What is the agency's point of view at OPQ regarding the role of patients?
Well, I actually agree with what Roger said. I think the patient is the foremost stakeholder, really. And I think that even a more grassroots example is to take a step back and realize that everyone's a patient, or everyone's related to a patient, or is the parent of a patient. We all have family members who need good quality medicines. So I think it's very easy to walk into the office in the morning and detach yourself from the patient, especially when you work in a very technical field, as quality is. And it's I think, a humbling experience and also a very necessary experience in that same quality field to take a step back and think about the impact on the patient of what you're doing. The technical discussion that you're having, linking that back to the patient, it's very critical. But it's also an exercise that if you can discipline yourself to do it somewhat periodically, it becomes easier to remember to do it. So I think in OPQ, really trying to build that into movement forward so that we're not constantly telling people, link to the patient, they're just magically doing it, or not magically, but just automatically doing it because it becomes part of their workforce.
In practice, how does OPQ engage with patients? Do you have patients come into OPQ and speak with you, or do you ask them questions? Do you have a focus group? How does this happen?
So that's an interesting question. And actually, when we had our OPQ session, one of the challenges I stated at the end of the session, which is a very authentic challenge that I think we're going to deal with in the next few months to a year, is exactly that. How do you engage patients, again, in a field that is by and large incredibly technical, and also for us proprietary? So there are some real challenges with that. The information we deal with, we're not authorized to release, and by and large. And so there are some opportunities. I think some of the partnerships we have inside the agency as a whole, some of our clinical colleagues help us out when we're talking about framing things on behalf of patients. We have advisory committees where patients do come in and we hear the testimonials. But again, building that into the quality review framework is definitely a challenge that we're going to have to consider moving forward.
So this is work in progress as far as the agency is concerned. There's an intent to involve the patient, but how that is going to be done specifically is still being, is still evolving, shall we say. Fair
yes,
enough?
Yes, fair. Okay.
I'd like to turn, Sarah, to the topic of risk minimization and mitigation in the context of benefit-risk balance. When a finished product presents to a potential patient, but now you have, you know, risk minimization and mitigation strategies impacting CMC and GMP processes. Can you talk a little bit about how risk is managed and mitigated and minimized in this context?
Sure. So when an NDA or an application, more generally, comes across a reviewer's desk, their job is to assess it from a quality standpoint, to take a look at all the information that supports the application in that particular arena, and then to make a recommendation on whether the application is suitable to be approved or what we call complete response, not approved. So really, it should be a conversation of risk from the get-go. The reviewer should be looking at what are the risks of the product, as you mentioned. Now, the important part is closing the loop and getting back to what the patient's actually expecting of the product. And so in terms of the question of minimizing risk, mitigating risk, and then also with the inspectional part, it really comes down to a combination of the technical assessment of risk as part of the assessment of quality in both the inspectional part and also the review part, but then the effective communication of that assessment to stakeholders. Remembering that our stakeholders don't always understand as much about quality as we do. So it's actually very, very critical that we're able to take a step back and be able to explain the core of an issue as opposed to giving people 17 details about things that they may not understand, and really getting to the core of the message of why this matters to the patient.
Roger, from the industry point of view, obviously risk minimization and mitigation is a traditional concern. How does the industry look at this? What have you heard at this annual meeting in relation to risk?
If I can step back a little bit, going into the past, I think we always recognized risk, or many companies, I think, recognized risk as something they had to manage. We weren't always as transparent about it. And we looked at it from the perspective of what is relevant to us in order to file a submission. In the last 10, 15 years, we've changed that significantly, and we are now more willing to be transparent and have been transparent. And what we tried to do with this program is talk a lot about risk in terms of how we're conveying the risk and how relevant that risk is so that we can make some inroads in how we get submissions approved. Looking at what OPQ has done, and if you go back to the integrated approach that they're taking, that's all part of what we believe is the appropriate approach to understanding how we assess risk and how the FDA needs to assess our assessment of that risk. And I like to focus a lot on what we control or what our control strategy is, because that's key to where we end up ultimately. If we demonstrate a good understanding of our risk, we convey it appropriately, we have a good control strategy, the regulators are going to be confident in the quality of the product. And so through the life cycle, and again, we have to watch this through the life cycle, because as everyone knows, products initially, we can do a really good job of characterizing the risk and controlling any risks that are there. But as the product gets older and older and it gets transferred and other things happen, if we're not vigilant and we don't have good, robust change management, knowledge management, we will end up in a place where we don't want to be, which is not having a good understanding and appreciation of what those risks are at the moment. So that's part of what this program was intended to deliver when we planned it out.
Before we close, could I ask you both if, based on what you hear at this annual meeting and on your other knowledge, there is a pretty close alignment between the agency and industry on the mission of OPQ and how industry needs to be aligned with it? Are there any areas of dissent or concern, or is there really a harmonious alignment now, which wasn't always the case in the past? Is this a new age of cooperation between the agency and industry in the interest of patients?
I think I hear that the alignment is there. I've not heard a lot of difference in terms of the frame of what link to the patient actually means and why we're all in this together. I think what I've learned both internally within OPQ and also with my industry colleagues is that collaboration is an easy word to say, not so easy to do. It is a tremendous investment of resources, I would argue, for the right reasons. But it's a lot of work, and it involves very difficult conversations sometimes, and I think also that necessity of stepping back and really considering other people's opinions, other industries' opinions, the agency's opinions, that are having a robust dialogue. So I think that moving forward, I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful that those conversations and the work that we're doing now will continue, but I will also candidly admit that it is a tremendous amount of work, and it's not always easy work. When you're talking about patients who need products, you're talking about things like risk and even uncertainty, which I think is really the core word of what we do. And we're never really certain. You can never be certain of quality, but you can be, like Roger said, confident in it.
Roger, your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of look at this as a continuum. And at one end, you have full trust. And at the other end, you have full mistrust. I think we've gone through periods with the regulators over the last 20 to 30 years where we've seen, you know, some polarizing events that have, you know, caused problems for regulators because industry didn't follow up. And I think we've seen, likewise, regulators who haven't been consistent in their approaches to what we were trying to do. But for me, it comes back to the ability to invest in the communication. And if we do that right, I think Sarah said it right too, we're going to move in the right direction towards trust. Will we ever get there entirely? Probably not. I know there are always going to be some speculation among people whether or not we are doing the right thing in the industry. On the other hand, I do believe that in most cases, the industry holding the same principles and the same perspective that the FDA has brings us closer together just by the nature of looking again at the patient and looking at the quality of what we want to do, the confidence in the quality of what we want to do.
Thank you. Well, Sarah Pope-Bitsinski of the Office of Pharmaceutical Quality at FDA, Roger Nosal of Pfizer, I want to thank you both for being with us today. For DIA Global Forum, this is Alberto Grignolo.